Amen. I remember Mary, she's still having some problems there. And just remember her in prayer and kind of, you know, we have a testimony. I went back to the a specialist for my eyes, and he looked and he said, well, you know, they're not going to be able to do very much for my eyes. I went, and they can't fix them. So I said, well, you know, he explained to me the different things, and he said, you know, you are 75. I said, well, I say this, I don't believe what he told me.
Amen.
All due respect to the doctor, I don't believe a word he said. I believe by his stripes I'm healed. Amen. And I'm going to see clear again. So I'm going to try to sing here now from heaven's point of view. Today I face the mountain that I have no strength to climb. And the struggle of my journey left me weak, both in body and in mind. Where I stand to the peak is a distance on my own I cannot reach. But this journey of a thousand steps begins right here on my knees. Soon I'll soar like an eagle, high on wings of grace, far into the heaven. I can almost see God's face rising in his splendor, heights I never knew. What once looked like a mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view. I may face things tomorrow I can't comprehend today, circumstances so uncertain make it hard find the strength to pray. But I'm living in his promise, he'll never leave me, he'll always see me through. So what's this mountain to an eagle flying high from heaven's point of view? Soon I'll soar like an eagle, high on wings of grace, or into the heavens. I'll see God face to face, rising in his splendor, the heights I never knew. What once looked like a mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view. What once looked like a mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view.
many believe that? Amen. As Sister Trudy comes this afternoon, let's sing that little chorus, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up, and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving.
Pressing my battle, oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, I've learned a lesson from a little lily. It was struggling way beneath the miry clay, spun by sheer desire. That lily stand up higher, makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, if God provided for a tiny sparrow, surely he will meet my every need. How can I give up when he fills my empty cup? Makes me press on, make me press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Makes me press on, make me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. See, I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yes, I still am still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, press on all the way. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way.
Let's all stand before we change the... Amen. Before we change the order of service.
Amen.
Let's sing number 34 in the spiral book.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. Sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised, that will he do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood,
good job.
I will pass over you.
I'll pass over you. Boy, what a time. I believe the prophet of God told us that the bride is the blood by the Spirit.
Amen.
Turn it on. Okay. They can still hear me. Don't worry. Amen. You didn't have to say that. I didn't have my microphone on. I said, they can hear me. And you said, amen. So, okay. You didn't hear what I said, did you? Okie dokie then. All right, good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's get these announcements out of the way and we'll get on with the service. God bless you. Hope you enjoyed the service this morning. I enjoyed it myself. Yeah. It's getting more real. It's getting more real, more real, more real. If it's not getting more real, then you need to get something that is real. Because there's nothing else real besides the Lord Jesus. All right. Now, remember this coming Wednesday, Lord willing, Brother Marcus Becker will be with us from Germany. Also, November the 14th, there'll be a church dinner. That's next Sunday. One service. Y'all know the roles and the roles? No. Rolls. Dessert. One meat, two vegetables. We got company coming, so there's a lot of us here, so let's bring a lot of food. Y'all always do. You've never not brought enough, so. We thank you for that. And so remember, too, on November the 17th, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us. That's next Wednesday. All right. Now, on the 21st, Brother Dutch Scott, I'll be in Illinois that weekend. Brother Dutch Scott will be here preaching for you on November the 21st. November the 23rd, that's Tuesday night. Brother Bob Black will be preaching for us that night. There will be no Wednesday service. All right. Also remember Brother Luis and the family, they're coming back from Jacksonville now, but they will be leaving on about the 30th, going to Central America, and going to be gone about 6 weeks. So Brother Terrence announced that we need to gather up some money for them and help them with that endeavor for 6 weeks being in another country. So we want to send him and give him some money to do what he needs to do with. Amen. The Lord always provides for that too, so we're not worried about that either. Amen. Also, we'll have communion this afternoon. Remember, Brother Richard Roberts, I don't know how he's doing, but, he's been coughing really bad, so let's keep him in prayer. All right. Let's start again with John 1. Continue on a little bit further. We finally got the baby here this morning, so we got the baby Lord here, the Lord Jesus here, so now maybe we'll get him on up. Cause there's really not a lot to talk about the Son of Man during his, what they call the silent years. From baby to about, then he appears at 13 and then he disappears until he's 30. There's really nothing said about him and wrote about him, but we're gonna see that if you look in the Bible, we can see that there are things he did in between there. That's the same way with mine and your journey. There may be some silent years that me and you have, you know, but it's something that it may be silent to the world, but God's always doing something. If you, like I said this morning, as we were talking about our journey last night, your journey will tell you pretty much where you're at, how God got you here, and all these different things. They'll let you know what's going on. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We appreciate, Lord, the time you've given us on this earth. And I pray, Lord, as we study your word, Lord, that you'll show us where we're at and what we're doing here. And Lord, where we're going. Lord, because we understand that we're going somewhere. Every person on the earth that's born of a human being is going somewhere. One way or the other, Lord, and our choice is what sends us to those destinations. Lord, I pray that we choose you, Father. And Lord, if there be someone here today that has not chosen you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, stir their heart up, Father. Lord, because as the sister said, it's getting short time. It's getting time, Lord, where we're going to get out of here and the doors of the Gentile church is going to be closed. And we're not going to be able to bring anybody in anymore, Lord, because it'll be finished. But Lord, we have time now. We have loved ones. We have family. We have wives, husbands, kids, cousins that we want to see serving this wonderful message of the hour. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that now as we speak, Lord, that that would go to the hearts of the people, Lord, the ones that are listening in, and Lord, even the ones that we testify many times, Lord, to the goodness of you. That they will realize, Lord, that there's nothing in this world more important and more real than you. You came on the earth to tell us that, Lord, and today we're going to talk about you just a few minutes, Lord. Just keep us safe. Bless the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here, Lord. We ask you just continue to be with each one. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, Lord. Thank you for the day and hour that we're living in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know what we'd do if we lived in another age. What would you do? I mean, what would you... we're here. I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable being in this world, but I'm comfortable being in this age. Okay? I'm comfortable being in this age because I know that God's put us here for a purpose. Amen? All right, John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's not part of us. I was thinking about it. You know, there's no darkness in the bride. So we don't have to See, there was the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended. If you're in darkness, you're not going to comprehend what's going on. You're not going to comprehend the Lord. Everything's going to be a mystery to you. But remember, God gave us the new birth to take away that mystery. Because there's one mystery to be revealed in the end time, and He's not going to hide it from His bride. That's what I want you to see. The Son of Man came on the earth the first time to try to reveal Himself to man, right? They didn't want no part of it. Didn't understand who He was. But He built His church on the revelation of the Son of God. But now in the end time, He wants it to be revealed who He really is and where He's at. Oh, they say He's here. They say He's here. Remember, the Bible says they'll say, lo, Christ, He's over here. Lo, He's over in the desert. Lo, He's up in the mountain. Lo, He's into this. He's in. Mm-mm. You'll know He's not there because He'll be in here. But if He's not in here, you'll go chasing off over there for that. And remember, they're false Christ. Brother Bram said plural. Christ coming in the end time. Okay? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Yet he's going to use flesh to bring this all back. Amen. He's not doing away with flesh. But we don't want to lean to that flesh. And if you're not born again, like we was talking about last night, you will lean toward the flesh every time. Amen. Because it's lustful. It's all the different things that flesh does. But remember, God came in human flesh. And He overcame all that. And if He did, then He requires us to do it. And by requiring us to do it, though, He sends us an advocate, a comforter, a high priest, and all those things, and doesn't just come on us, He comes in us. Amen. He gets inside of us and starts a work, if we'll let Him do it. Amen. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord add His blessings to the reading of the Word. And we'll just background just for a few minutes. And Hebrews 10 verse 1, as we were talking this morning, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now here's a man named Paul. Paul wrote 80% of the New Testament, but he didn't have anything to go on except the Old Testament. When he went to Arabia or wherever it was, and they said he was 3 years or 14 years, it doesn't really matter. He didn't take any other book. He took the scrolls. So he took the scrolls and every little thing that they did, all the pots and the pans and the sacrifices and the doing this and the don't do that and the feast days and all the things in the Old Testament, and by the filter of the Holy Ghost. See, that was the whole deal. They didn't have the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, so there was no filter to work through. So God sent Paul, the messenger to the end time, to the first church age. He sent Paul with the Holy Ghost. Then he could take the Holy Ghost and interpret the Old Testament. To me, that's wonderful. He could interpret what no one else, Nicodemus, Gamaliel, even the different ones that were just really good, even the prophets. What did the prophets all say? And we'll read it later on. The prophets said they desired, Jesus said they all desired to see my day. Or this day. Right? Desired. So they didn't just prophesy. I think Moses, sure he had the do's and the don'ts and the this and the that. And he's the one that wrote it. And he's the one that saw it. God told him to write it. But I believe Moses, see, he didn't have the Holy Ghost, but Moses knew there was something greater. Because he did say that God will send a prophet likened unto me. He said, to him you'll hear. What was he saying? You're not listening to me. Right? You're not listening to me. But to him you'll hear, because he will what? In other words, he'll be the Holy Ghost. He won't just have the Holy Ghost, he'll be the Holy Ghost. Amen? Which is talking about Jesus Christ, a prophet likened unto me. Not a prophet, but the prophet. Amen? So for a law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. See, you couldn't say in the Old Testament, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. There was no way you could do that. Because there was not anything to perfect you in the Old Testament. But when the one that could perfect you came and said, I'm going to send the comforter, I'm going to send the advocate, I'm going to send all the high priest, I'm going to send this person back in my name. And that's what he said, I'm going to send the comforter in my name. Now, we'll get to that later on. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but still we need to cover this. There stood Jesus, and he was the one that was saying, I'm the one that's going to do it. Now, Paul never met Jesus. We know that. All right, never recorded that he did. But he knew, and we're going to read in Corinthians the order of the communion service, which Paul didn't even have a part in. When Jesus and him went in the upper room, there was 12 people that had a eyewitness account of what happened, but they didn't write about it. Paul was commissioned to write about it because they didn't have the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Paul got the Holy Ghost later on after that, and he says, here's what's happened. Here's what the Lord said. Here's what's going on. So that's the same way that he used inspiration. And I believe that's the same, you say, what are you getting to? That's the same inspiration that God used when Brother Branham comes on the scene. As Paul being the messenger to the first church age, he takes the Old Testament, brings it up to date, an updated revelation, right? Takes all the junk out of it, not junk in there, I'm talking about the people that made it junk. Brother Branham, Jesus said, you've made these just traditions. So he took and filtered that out and wrote the New Testament. Well, then the New Testament was written, and then for almost 2,000 years, that New Testament, to some people, was just like the Old Testament. They had their idea of this, and they had the idea of that, and they had the idea of the water baptism, and they had the idea of three gods and all that. So God had to send an Omega prophet, an end time prophet. And then sending that end time prophet, he didn't just take the New Testament. He went all the way back to the mind of God before the foundation of the world. God wanted to make sure that happened. So he sent him all the way back. He said, let's go back in the back part of God's mind. Nobody had ever roamed there before. And I believe he went back in the back part of God's mind and he brought the perfection of what God was talking about the whole time. All the way down, and then now he stood at the ending of the Gentile church age, the ending of the New Testament, and he gave us complete clarity from the mind of God all the way to here. So see, that's why I really believe that if we hadn't had this message, that it would just be, there would be things that would still be mysteries. Amen. Ma'am? There'd still be mysteries. I mean, can you talk to somebody about, well, I think that the Sabbath should be on a Saturday, and well, I think Jesus was the second person of the Trinity. Well, no, he wasn't the second person of the Trinity. He was the Holy Ghost. You see how the confusion. But there's no confusion. Listen, there's confusion because when Jesus was on earth, they didn't understand who he was. That's the confusion, is because Satan likes to get involved in this and muddle it up. Same way with me and you. But there had to be one perfect. There was no time that Jesus got up in the morning. And don't get me wrong, he was a human being, but there was no time he got up on any morning and said, I'm going to have an argument with my Father today, because I just don't see what he's saying. No. He knew who he was. He said, I only do that which the Father shows me. He said, I'm obedient, in other words, to what the one inside of me. Now see, that's the Son of Man. That's what me and you gotta come to. You say, oh, no, no, no. That's the characteristics of the Son of Man. When he spoke a message, it was 100% the truth. 100. Jesus didn't have 99.9% truth. He was 100% truth. And if that person is living inside of you today, you can do the same thing. The works that I do, you say, oh, that works is the healing of the sick. They asked Jesus one time, they said, how do we do the works of God? We'll read it later on in his life. It's in John 5 or somewhere in there. What can we do to do the works? We want to work. We want to work. You know, give me something to do, Lord. He said, believe on him who God has sent. Wow. How profound that is, but how so very simple that it went right over the top of their head. How can we, they was going to say, okay, Lord's going to go now. Here's number one. Okay, here's number two, work number two, work number three, work number four. No, he said, just believe on the people that God sends you. Right. Believe on the people that God sends you. You believe those people. Right. Hmm. Too simple. But here's Paul writing in Hebrews. He said, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, talking about the sacrifices, because that the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Now remember, I'm going to dwell on this just a little bit, because watch what Paul's background was, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a teacher in Israel. He had come up under Gamaliel and come up under Nicodemus, right? So he knew about the sacrifices. Listen, he lived those feast days. He knew everything you were supposed to do. The turtle doves, the pigeons, the what to put here, the laver goes over here. Because he had practiced it. For maybe some 30 years he had practiced it. And then he comes to this new way. He gets struck down on the road to Damascus. And God doesn't change his mind. He just fills him with the Holy Ghost. And that changed his mind. And then he started writing Hebrews. He said, all that I used to do, this is what it's for. He was the only man, folks, that could take that Old Testament and make it live into the New Testament. Because John couldn't. John just introduced the head. Amen? And he was still in the Old Testament. Because he wasn't even in the kingdom of God. But see, you've got Jesus now, and you've got Paul over here, and Paul gets this perfect understanding of everything he had done. And then that's why I love the book of Hebrews. And even Brother Branham said he really loved the book of Hebrews. Because there's a contention in the world that he didn't write Hebrews. That Paul didn't write that. Man, that's Paul. There's no way around it. That Paul wrote that book of Hebrews. Amen. Brother Branham said, look, said he wrote this book of Hebrews knowing what was in the Old Testament. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. He created his own body to make sure he knew what he was doing. And he knew it was going to work. He created his own body. The egg and the sperm. Put them together. And Mary was the oven, and then here come the body. But the body, remember, as we see in the masterpiece, just to cover a few things from this morning, the masterpiece, the prophet of God said, then finally the great head, the head of it all, the rest of the body just spoke of it. The foundation was laid by the patriarch, but the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all, Jesus came on the scene. So you got your prophets in the Old Testament. And listen, they may not have had a complete understanding of who this person was because they spoke only what God told them to speak. But yet God said, I'm going to build my body, a body thou hast prepared me. Now when you say thou, we know that was God, but how did he do it? He did it through the prophets. Those prophets stood up and said, a virgin shall conceive. The prophet stood up and said, he's going to be the counselor, the prince of peace, the mighty God. He's going to be wounded for your transgression. Not a bone in his body is going to be broken. He's going to be put in the grave, but he's not going to be there but 3 days. And all these different things, they were telling you the pieces of the body. See, that's the revelation that you and I get. The revelation you and I get comes the same way. Like I said this morning, it comes in pieces. We read, and listen, they read the Old Testament scrolls just like Paul did. They didn't get what Paul got. Amen? Because Paul had the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. If they had had the Holy Ghost and took the Old Testament, like Gamaliel, like Nicodemus, and all those different ones, then they would have understood, well, there's the Messiah. Because he came exactly the way the Bible said he was going to come. And listen, you and I come exactly the same way the Bible said we were going to come. You did. Your own personal experience, you can put it in the Bible. That's what we were talking about last night. Put it in the Bible. If you can put it in the Bible, that ain't the devil. That's God. If you can walk your life through the Bible. Now you can't say, well, you know, Robert Darty is in Genesis 14:3. You can't do that. But you can take the characteristics of each one of those people. And you can say, that's a piece of me. Your sisters, Rahab, and all the different ones and the different women in the Bible that God used. Just like he uses you. Same way with each one. I want you to read the Bible that way. Sometimes we read it as something way out over this way, but I've always told you, you know that since when I first started preaching, you need to take Abraham's name out and put your name in. That's your journey, because you went through the same journey he went through. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, circumcision, leaving your family, hearing from God. You say, I've never heard the voice of God. Yeah, you hear it every Sunday. You hear it every time you press play. Amen. If you have a doubt whether you've ever heard the voice of God, press play. Amen. And do it when you want to do it. Not when somebody tells you to have to push play. We don't have to just push play on Sunday. I thought we could do it just any time we wanted to. Somebody got to tell me to push play. I promise you that. Amen? But the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. Now, we'll get to this in just a little bit. Not this service. But we'll talk about the headstone for a minute. Because what is a headstone? The headstone is the head of the church. He was the one, the beginning, as we were talking about this morning, the beginning of the creation of God. He started this like it was supposed to have been started in Genesis. Which made him then the beginning of the creation of God. The way God wanted to be created to start with. And remember, that word create, you got to remember, go back to Genesis 1:26. God created us in his image. But that wasn't from nothing. That would have given us a beginning. We don't have a beginning. The new birth does not have a beginning. Your new birth, the soul of God that came to you at the new birth, never had a beginning and never going to have an end. If it had a beginning, it's got to have an end. That's why you have to have an end. You ended when you got born again. And see, that give you new life, a new what? Creation. A new creation. In other words, he formed you out of himself. Remember, that's what creation means, form. He formed you out of himself. If you have the new birth. Now remember, you were formed by mom and daddy. If you don't have the new birth, you do have a beginning. And you will have an end. Eventually, somewhere. Yeah, I know God gave you a soul, but he didn't give you an eternal soul. Come on. He's the only one who can give a soul. He's the only one who can take a soul away. Amen? He's the only one who can kill a soul. Remember, it said, don't worry about the one that can kill the body. You worry about the one person that can kill your soul. Because he's gonna take the souls away on the, well, however how many millions of years you want to say. that sinners are going to be. Eventually, they're just going to go away. Be no more. Isn't that horrible? I mean, we're all human beings. I was thinking about this the other day. We're human beings. I'm talking about everybody in the world too. They have a life. They have a wife, kids, daughter. They have, just like me and you have. But one day that's just going to just completely go away. Like it never happened to begin with. But if you're born again, God takes that part of you and He makes it eternal. He just brings that eternal life and places it right in there. And then you know what? That takes you all the way through eternity. Never to have an ending. Never to not know who you are. Never to not know who God is. Never to not know you lived on this earth either. Amen? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah. So let's skip on now over to Isaiah 53. We're talking about he gave his soul a ransom. I want you to understand that. In Isaiah 53, go to the next one. Isaiah 53. We've read this over and over again, but I want you to understand that soul is more important than anything. Because it's the soul of Almighty God. It's His persona. It's who He is. It's the Creator. It's the head of all things. Now, we can't understand that, as we were talking about before. We couldn't understand that. How can you understand eternal? How can you understand that one person stood on the earth and every tree that you see, every bush that you see, every cloud you see in the sky, one man made it. And before a billion, 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 trillion years, he was still not even 1 second old. How are you going to understand that? You're not going to understand it unless he steps down in another form and says, look, I'm a soul. I'm a theophany. I'm a being. I'm more real than you are. Because see, he's fixing to give you a soul. He's going to give you a soul at your natural birth. And that soul is the most important thing of you because that's what's going to get converted, not your body and not the spirit that he gave you to contact this world with. The memory, reason, conscience, affects, and imagination. Everybody understand that? Those of you that are awake? 1 Peter 3 verse 18, look, says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, just keep that up there, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. It's going to be after that, but we're going to read this in a second, because by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were sometimes disobedient. This soul of this person went to hell. But when he went to hell, he said, I am the one that you turned down. And I'm sure they were like, we only heard a message of Noah. Right? Because it was in the long suffering of the days of Noah. Brother Brown said, God, when Jesus died on the cross, his soul went to hell and preached to those people because they didn't know anything. He said, I'm the one that Noah was trying to tell you about. Remember, then he comes up back and picks up Abraham and Isaac and all the different ones that are in paradise. That was the soul of Almighty God. That was God himself. That was the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? But remember, what did Abraham say? He said, look, Sarah, that's the man we fed the calf to. Ezekiel said, hey, that's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Isaiah said, that's what was conceived. That's what that virgin brought forth. Every one of them saw him in the revelation. Well, guess what? They saw him in the body, revelation part that they saw. But you and I get the whole thing. See, that's what you and I get as born again believers. We don't just get this little piece. Because the head came back. The head came down and became a baby and lived like me and you. So he could reveal himself to who? His children, not to the world. The world rejected him, remember? The world didn't know anything about it. What about Brother Branham? Because he said 0.1% of people only knew Jesus came on this earth. 0.1% knew Jesus was here at the time he was. So nobody understood him. Nobody. And they really didn't understand how he got here. Yet the Bible said, a virgin shall conceive. They read that on Sunday, or Saturday, to them, the Sabbath. Their Saturday, they read that thousands of times. And then here's Jesus, and they said he was illegitimate. Mary even pondered things in her heart. We're going to read here in just a few minutes where she denied the virgin birth. Did she really understand it? Look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We'll read it in just a minute. He said, the one that led me in the wilderness told me that if I saw the Spirit descend like a dove and remain on this person, that's the Messiah. And it wasn't maybe a month later when he got put in prison. John sent his disciples and said, go find out if that's the right guy. Go find out if that's the right guy. You stood in the water and declared that man was the right guy. You see what I mean about how the Son of Man came? That's why people will look at you and do the same thing. Listen, we are the only people that live Christianity the best that we can live it and the closest we can live it. Yet we are totally strange to the world. Totally strange to the world. Well, that's the same characteristics with the Lord. Now, aren't we supposed to be Christians? Right? And we have a Bible. And we should be reading it. And then we take what we have, 100% truth, Christianity, and we take it to the world and they go, nah, I don't think I'll do that. Don't tell me I can't cut my hair. Don't tell me I can't do this. Now, a little drink every once in a while, that'll be all right. You know, I can't help smoking. I just can't help it. But I'm a Christian. Hell has just closed their gates up. I mean, for sale sign on hell now because there's not one down there. Nobody's going anymore. No, but see, my Bible said that hell hath enlarged her gates to fit all the people in it. That's the mystery. You and I are the mystery. If that Son of Man characteristic was, he was a total mystery to the world. Don't marvel when you try to talk to somebody about being a real Christian, Christ-like. Oh, you ain't perfect, and I ain't perfect. We can't do that. You ain't perfect, and I ain't perfect. I've heard that so many times. About make you sick. And you try to do the best you can with them, but you know what? They close you off. Just like what happened in Jesus' day. I am He. I am. I was before Abraham. I'm the one that did this. I'm the bread that came out of heaven. I eat my flesh and drink my blood. If you don't listen to me, you'll have no part with me. If you don't like me, in other words, why did he told them all that and they're still going, duh. I don't understand what you're talking about. 400 people at one time left him. That's a pretty good congregation. 70 left him. And poor guy, he kind of got a little frustrated and he turned around and looked at the 12 and he said, y'all leaving too? Isn't that what he said? But thank God Peter says, oh, where can we go? You are the only one that makes any kind of sense. I don't believe. In other words, listen, when I said Peter and him didn't believe, we'll read later on when Jesus resurrected. Mary and Martha came to Peter, James, and all them and said, the Lord has risen. And the Bible says they did not believe them. They did not believe. Jesus walked them through and even said, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. Right? Go to Galilee and that's where I'll meet you at. Peter went fishing. John and them was arguing about who's going to be this and who's going to be that. What am I saying? You and I, though all this is going on in the, and we're not, I'm not belittling nobody. I'm just telling you, you look and see at what revelation that you have or should have versus what they had. They didn't understand the Son of Man. They barely understood the Son of God, that the Holy Ghost was going to come back inside of them and they were going to live a good Christian life. I read you what Brother Adam said, just enough to get you saved. And that was all through the church ages. But now here in the end time, we can talk about things no one has been able to talk about. And not just talk about it, make it live. We saw one time in a prophet, he said, what you see in part, you're going to see in its fullness. In other words, when I'm gone, the fullness is going to be here. And it's not just going to be me speaking the word of God. It's going to be you speaking the word of God. Because the Bible didn't say, William Branham, if you say this mountain be removed, and that, no, no, he didn't say that. He said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and not doubt in your heart, you'll have what you ask for. Amen? See, that's what I'm looking at. I want to look at this characteristic. We'll skip some of this. And go back, let's go to all the way to Revelations 3:14. Where we were this morning, just continue there, because we know that Jesus came through a womb and he became a baby and he had to, he was oh so sweet and so precious. Kind of like y'all two were when you were younger. I said when you were younger. I remember, y'all remember T carrying y'all around all over the place? Y'all were like an appendage. He had one in one arm, one in the other. Walking them around, carrying them around. Y'all done growed up from that, right? Yeah. You done grew up from that. You're not babies anymore. You're young adults. But you did have a part that did happen. So unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, let's skip it to here. But Jesus was a baby. He did grow up. And I'll read you, we're going to read what the Bible says, that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. But to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this is where we're at this morning. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now the Amen, Brother Branham said the Amen, that's the ending. The Laodicean church age is the end of all things. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God having to show in the end time, our time. That's our time. In the end time, that he's got to come back as the Son of Man to prove who he was. Now, not to prove himself who he was, prove to the world who he was, prove to the devil who he was. Is that what you and I are? We are here to prove that God came back in the form of the Holy Ghost in the early church age, and then there's been a growth development, and that Son of Man, that God in human flesh, is back again on the earth in a bride. Not just one person, many people. All right, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, we read that quote. Let's read it again because I really enjoy that. Laodicean church age, Brother Ram said. Just go to the next quote. That'd be fine. 14th verse of the 3rd chapter of Revelation. To the angel of the Laodicean write these things which saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I mean, really, who's going to be the witness? Who's going to witness this? You and I are going to witness it. We are the witness. We're the only witness God's got. God can't take witness from something out there. And I don't mean out there. You understand? I'm not belittling out there. But their idea of denominational ideas of false doctrine. Let's just say false doctrine. That'll cover everybody. False doctrine is not a part of God. It didn't come from God. Never did come from God, and it never will be God. Amen. All right? You say, well, we just, yes, you can. If you got the one inside of you and you have the fullness of the revelation, yes, God can work through that. Listen, in spite of all the junk in the church ages, God still worked through them people. Oh my, we got it. If we had all night on that right there, how the Lord would reveal that to us, watch. The amen is the last. He's appeared all the way down through in different things. But here's the last church age where it says, this is the finish, I am the last. Now to show that he was the first also, as he was, he's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, do you catch it? How could God be created if he's a spirit? How could he be? He's eternal. He never was created. He never will be created because he was God in the beginning. What? The Logos, the Son of God, the Creator. Right? But he, that is the beginning of the creation of God, was Jesus Christ when he was made manifest. See, I always had a problem when Brother Branham said, see, God didn't have a beginning or an end. Jesus had a beginning and Jesus had an end. I'm like, what? Earthly journey. Amen. Earthly journey. He had a beginning. Earthly journey, he had an ending according to how me and you say ending. Yes. Now remember, when he died, that was his ending. We just realized that something happened a couple of days later, and that same man came back up. Yes. All right? But now remember, it wasn't exactly the same man because that body had been glorified. Yes. It was a flesh man that looked 50 years old, but he was only 30. Hard work he had done. But when he resurrected, he was a young man again. But he had a beginning and he had an end. And even Brother Branham was saying, now Jesus had a father and a mother. God didn't have a father. He was talking about Melchizedek. Because they said, without father, without mother. I thought, what? Jesus did have a father. Amen? He did have a father. He talked to him every day. When God lived in him, he is God's creation. Oh my, the first and the last, the amen, the beginning of the creation of God. When God created himself a body, Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. He came down and lived in it, and that's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Now, let's go to Luke 2, verse 39. We're going to have to go through and see what... We're going to have to fill in some gaps. Because here's Jesus as a baby, and then we're going to see him at 12 years old. Okay, is that all right? And wake up just for a few minutes, would you please? It's a little bit warm, I know that. But shake yourself. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, you know they even had to take the baby Jesus into the temple, and the baby Jesus had to be circumcised? The baby Jesus had to go through all the purification. The mama, Mary, had to go through all the purification. She had to give the turtle dove. She had to do all the things according to the Old Testament. Her rites of purification and all those things. Why? He couldn't be the Word and come not according to the Word. He had to come according to the Word all the way through. He stood up one day and he said, where have I missed it? Remember, I would have got tired of it too. I would have said, where'd I miss that? Find me a scripture that I missed. That I come a different way than what the Bible said. But you know what they did? They just got all self-righteous and decided they wanted to kill him. Amen. Same way with me and you. People get talking to me and you. I mean, listen. You talk about the Braves and the Houston Astros playing in the World Series and all. Oh, that's okay. Braves won. But you start talking about religion. They hate your guts. They about shoot you over that, over a doctrine. Just saying. Why? Because it's a spirit fighting a spirit. It's not human beings. It's not us slapping each other on the back and say, oh, that's great, the Braves won. Yeah, but I don't like them, but that's okay. If you like them, that's all right. Well, now, Jesus was not the second person. What do you mean he wasn't the second person of the Trinity? My mama told me back in 1947 when I was born, said God was the second person of the Trinity. And you tell my mama ain't right? Yeah, you see what that does? What's that got to do with your mama? And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, their own city, Nazareth. Why did they go back to Nazareth? Did any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the child grew. Look, now this is for you. That's why I made the point a minute ago. Y'all were once little bitty babies. And now you've grown up. But have you grown up like this? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Now this is Almighty God we're talking about here. No second person of a Trinity. No lesser person. Right? And the child grew filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, all that, let's skip ever how many years that is from baby to 12 in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now, what's important to this at 12 years old is that remember that under Jewish law or Jewish tradition, that at 12 years old, you were able to do certain things for your family. They call it a bar mitzvah. Right? Which is son of promise. Bar is son, son of promise. All right? So in other words, he comes to 12 years old and he is able to, I always wondered, you know, before a prophet told us, I always wondered why they'd even let Jesus in the temple at 12 years old. Usually Jewish people, they won't talk to a little kid under their tradition. But if you turn a certain age and you become at a certain place, 12 years old, goes they find him in the temple talking to these older people. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, in other words, the feast of Passover, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, in other words, with his family members or something, went a day's journey and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. They had lost Jesus. Is that our problem? We lose Jesus in the rat race, leave him behind. Think about that, folks. They left Jesus, their child. Couldn't find him for 3 days. There wasn't no Amber Alert back then. I don't mind them things, but that's an annoying thing to go off on your phone. I'm sorry. But when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him, they finally found him. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And when it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, isn't it kind of strange? And I try to analyze that a little bit. I know there might have been several temples, but there was only one main temple in Jerusalem. That was where all the work was done, the Holy of Holies and all that. Well, there was one temple in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, several years later, you find him where? In a temple. With a book in his hand. Opened the book of Isaiah. Could it be the same place he was at when he was younger? I believe he went back to the same place. And he might have talked to the same people. But look, sitting in the midst, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now that's where Brother Branham said she let down the bar. She lied because Joseph wasn't his daddy. And she should have known that. And I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In other words, he should have been in the carpenter shop. But he wasn't. He was where? He was in the temple. And they understood not the saying. Now look, they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. Why didn't Mary understand that? She should have known what happened and where that came from. Amen. Gabriel said, you'll be conceived of the Holy Ghost. And that thing that is born in you is named Jesus. She didn't have no hanky-panky. Yet she looked, she said, they didn't understand. Well, what do you mean to me about my father's business? You see how much, my point is, look at the understanding that they should have had, but they didn't have. I'm talking about through all Jesus' life. Amen. He was totally misunderstood from birth to death.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
And not very much understood now. But thank God for a prophet. I believe he was the one that brought the understanding.
Yes.
Amen.
God took enough of all that other stuff and he said, I'm going to send this prophet and he's going to straighten this thing out. But look, it says they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. And I kept reading that and I'm like, how did she not know that? And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now, listen, Jesus didn't say, kids, bless God, you're not my parents. I'm going to stay in this temple with these people because this is where I'm supposed to be. Now, that's not what happened. He was subject unto them. He became subject to his parents until he got old enough. We'll see in just a few minutes because he gets old enough where his daddy talks to him, his real daddy. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, not statue, stature of a perfect man, and in favor with God and man. Hebrews 5 verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect. Now, he wasn't talking about the soul. How can you perfect perfection? You can't make God imperfect and then all of a sudden he gets perfect. So he learned in his humanity, in his body, his spirit realm, he had to learn by the things that he suffered. So how are you and I going to get away from that? We can't get away from that. It's got to happen the same way for me and you. All right, let's go to Matthew 3 verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness in Judea. Well, this is where Jesus is going to show up and we'll kind of stop right here, but this is where we're going to talk about him for the rest of the time will be his life after his ministry begins. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah saying, the voice of one crying, he's identifying who he is. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And that same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea. He had pretty good ministry, but remember Brother Brown said it was about 6 months long, but very powerful. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And all the region about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. All right, let's go to Matthew 3, verse 11. Now here comes Jesus. All right, everybody okay with that? Here comes Jesus. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. In other words, I'm introducing someone that's more powerful than me. You think my ministry is powerful. I'm introducing one that's more powerful than me. That I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Go see, John couldn't do that. John didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to give to anybody. as far as the new birth. All right? But Jesus did. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor. Now, buddy, they heard him talking about this. They thought this man's going to come and just clean the whole place up. And gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, then he baptized him. What was Jesus saying? I know that. Suffer it to be so. But I got to be washed because I'm a sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be washed. And I'll read to what Brother Brown says about that in just a minute. And Jesus said when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now remember, there's a second part to that later on in his life. That's the same thing with me and you. Listen, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a new birth, God announces that he's pleased to dwell in you. You say, no, I've got all these. I'm just telling you what he said. When he gives you the new birth, listen, remember, justification is picking up the bottle. Sanctification is cleaning it out. And the Holy Ghost is putting that glass in service. He had a purpose for that glass. He was going to drink out of it, but not in this position. He was going to drink out of it when he cleaned it up. Right? But he was going to use that glass. Same way with me and you. He's going to use you. He's going to use you. And that's what he's saying. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wow. John 1 verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I believe he said that by inspiration. This is the he of him who I said after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. Now look, and I knew him not. So he had to say, Behold the Lamb of God by inspiration. Remember, John was in the wilderness. He didn't really know who Jesus was. He stayed in the wilderness for ever how many months that was, till he was 9 years old, or from nine years old all the way to, remember, him and Jesus were what, 6 months apart in age? Because one, you know, John was born 6 months before Jesus was. And they were cousins by earthly people, but we know they weren't cousins. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Who was that? The same guy that said, Behold, the Lamb of God's the one that sent him, but he sent him in another, he was in another form. He came in another form to John because he said, But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. Amen. See, no doubt John being a prophet, he saw the Spirit of God light on a lot of people. But it would light on Caiaphas and then it would leave him. It would light on this one and it would leave him. But he said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a prophet. Amen. All right, let's read this in the future home. Then we'll have communion. Here come God, down upon his earthly tabernacle, Jesus, descending out of heaven. Jesus was baptized, went straightway. When he met the prophet, the word comes to the prophet, and he was the word. And the prophet was standing there denying all their denominations, everything. And when he seen the word came right to him. The Word responded to the Word. Now that part he could feel. Now he may not have known Jesus in the flesh, but when he felt that anointing and he saw that anointing go on Jesus and remain on him, this man's different, he says. And the prophet was so shocked, he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou to me? And he said, suffer it to be so, for thus it is becoming to us, we know the message, to fulfill all righteousness. I am the sacrifice, it must be washed. He suffered him. When he went up out of the water, he said, I saw heavens open. The prophet saw it. He saw the heavens open. And here come, descending out of heaven, a form of a dove and a voice saying, now, Brother Branham, that's not what the Bible said. I'm going to read you a quote that Brother Branham said, this is what God said, and it's not what's in the Bible. I like it when you get the furrows in your brow like that. God didn't say that. I just read you the scripture of what he says. Right? But watch the correct interpretation. Watch a prophet with the correct interpretation tell us what that said. Because the Bible says, it says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. Right? I just read that to you. It didn't say this right here, but that's exactly what it was saying. Saying, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. Put me and you in there. For he is my word made manifest, and the whole world, I spoke it into existence by my word, Hebrews 11. And Satan has held it all this time, but I've come to redeem it. So much of it has made his body, and I'm coming to dwell in it. That's what that said. That's exactly, this is my part of the earth. In other words, this is me. This is me. I have come to redeem the rest of this world by this body that I'm standing in. That's what Jesus said. That's what God said, because that's where he was. And I'm come to dwell in it. This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed, and from this part of the earth, I'm going to redeem the rest of it. For he is my word made manifest. Now that's what was said. That was the love letter that was in between the lines. Because the world reads it. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Period. But as the bride of Jesus Christ, we read it, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. My bride. I have come to get my bride. I now have the anointing to be able to get them out. To get them out of the world. I have come in human flesh because I've got to die. I've got to be washed first because the sacrifice has got to be. Remember, they had to take the lamb, and before they killed it, they had to wash it. Couldn't be any blemishes. Couldn't be anything on that lamb. They had to wash that thing up. That's what John did with Jesus. He baptized him, come up out of the water, and then God said, now I'll accept that, and that's me. And I'm fixing to do something. Because for 29 and a half years, the silent years, it's like Dad's always said, he couldn't be. He was the Savior of the world when he was born, but he had to come to a position just like me and you. Like I said before, you and I have to come to a position in the Word of God where God can work with you. Maybe 61, maybe 15, 70, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? We had to come to that position, but he's going to say this same thing. This is my part of the earth. Make it personal. This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. Remember, when he gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, the new birth, he redeemed you. Those who he has justified, he has already glorified. Those who he's justified, he's already glorified. This is my part of the earth. This is the beginning of the creation of God. This is my way of getting you people, bride, out of me. Because you're bottled up inside of me. You've been inside of me for 29 and a half years, and I'm ready to get you out. I'm ready to preach you a message that you're going, it's going to be the platform that you're going to believe, and I'm going to save your soul. And then I'm going to redeem your body. Then I'm going to come in the end time and tell you how to do it. And that's where we're at right now. Let's stand to our feet. That's where we're at right now. That's the point we are at. We're at the point of full redemption. Full redemption. We're looking right at it. And he promised it in that scripture right there. Let's take communion. Y'all come ahead. What a day.